Calling the meeting to order. Good morning.
This meeting is being recorded.
Great. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us here for our board meeting. I'm Terry Hollingsworth. I'm the Chair of the Orange County Workforce Development Board. And before we begin, why don't we start with the Pledge of Allegiance? So if we can all stand, right hand over your heart, ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Great, fantastic. Board member roll call. So what we're going to do is go around the table. Desiree, if that's okay, and have everyone share your name, the name of your organization, and the committee that you serve on, or committees that you serve on. And so why don't we start here with Gregory Scott?
Gregory Scott, I'm the President, CEO of Community Action Partnership for Orange County, and I serve on the committee.
Great, thank you so much.
Good morning, Dr. Shantina Sorrells, and I'm the Chief Program Officer at Orangewood Foundation. Just joining, and I'll do the youth committee.
Good morning, my name is Tran Lay. I'm the Assistant Deputy Director over at our Employment Division for the California Department of Rehabilitation. I serve on the youth committee.
Good morning, I'm Glenn Rockmore, and I am the CEO of Rockmore Higher Education Consultants. And I'm a candidate for the Business Services.
Good morning, everyone. Glad to be here. I'm Karima Caldas. I'm the Executive Dean of Extended Learning at Southside College. I also serve as a co-chair of the San Orange County Regional Consortium. And I'm a candidate for the OC Workforce Solutions Oversight Committee.
Doug Mangione, International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, and I'm on the youth committee.
Good morning, I'm Heather Falcone. Excuse me. I'm the CEO of Thermal Bio Technology in Orange, and I'm up for Business Services Committee.
Good morning, I'm Sloan Keane. I'm the CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters, and I am a candidate for the youth committee. It's like we are strong.
And I'm Terry Hollingsworth. I serve as chair, and I also work as the Vice President of HR and Education Services with the Hospital Association of Southern California. We're a regional trade association, and I serve on the Business Services Committee.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Alisa Luke, CEO, co-founder of the Luke's Network, which is strategic marketing, public outreach, and fundraising firm. Serve as vice chair, so I'm 45 here, and also chair of the Business Services. So nice to see so many people.
Steve Guriel, principal of Mike Beach Adult School, and I serve on the One Stop Oversight.
Good morning, Carlos Oregon. I'm the CEO of Think Box Technology Group, we're an international IT program project management firm here in Orange County. I also am the chairman of the board of the Greater Irvine Chamber, and I sit on all three committees.
Good morning, I'm Rob Claudio, and I'm the Deputy Division Chief for Workforce Services for the Employment Development Department in Orange County. That's a long title. And I have been on the One Stop Oversight Committee for like 15, 16 years. I forget now. I'm getting older.
Hi, everybody. Jesse Benner with Orange County Business Council. I'm on the Business Services Committee.
I'm Ray Collins-Lees with the Irvine Company, and I'm also on the Business Services Committee.
Good morning, everyone. Gloria Alvarado. I'm the Executive Director of the Orange County Labor Federation, and I serve on the youth and the One Stop Oversight Committee.
All right, well, thank you. It's good to see everyone. We've been meeting via Zoom, so it's good to actually meet everyone in person. So thank you for joining us today. Someone's at the door. Moving on next to public comment.
We did not receive any requests to speak in advance, and if there are members of the public present that would like to address the board, please stand. Seeing none, Chair.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. First, our first action item is the OC. I'm sorry.
Can you do an official costume?
Oh, okay, sure.
Thank you. Gloria Alvarado.
Present.
Jesse Benron.
Present.
Kathy Boyd. Rob Claudio.
Here.
Steve Curiel.
Here.
Mike Daniel. Laurie Hollingways.
Here.
Terry Hollingsworth.
Present.
Chris Horton.
Present.
Trung Lee.
Here.
John Luker. Annalisa Luke.
Present.
Doug Mangione.
Here.
Barbara Mason. Gary Mackin. Ernesto Medrano. Carlos Aragon.
Here.
Mike Ruin.
Here.
Todd Sorn. Shantina Sorrells.
Present.
And Gregory Scott.
Present.
And we do have form chair.
Great, thank you so much. Moving on to action item number five, the Orange County Workforce Development Board Work Experience Policy. And I will pass it over to Carmen. I'll ask that you turn to page 24. So we will discuss 24 through 45. The work experience policy, for those members who are new, allows us to provide work experience for our youth. The BOLO requires that no less than 25% or 30% of California of our workforce dollars for youth are spent on work experience. This allows us to support them going out working for employers and gaining skills. We increase the dollar amount made available to youth in work experience. So instead of minimum wage, we are now suggesting $17 an hour. In addition to that, we change the work experience policy. In the past, we required our service provider, our youth service provider, to go out and recruit employers to serve as work sites. The challenge with that is if the service provider leaves, that relationship leaves with them. In addition to that, the oversight. So making sure that the work location is compliant, that it meets the needs of our youth, that it's a skill set that they can't, or a job that they can't go out and get on their own. So we decided to bring that work experience recruitment of employers inside, in-house. So our business services team will lead that. So this policy basically establishes that we will be responsible for going out and recruiting the employers and assessing the work site, and that we're increasing the wages that are available to youth in our work experience program. I reviewed this policy with the youth committee as well as the executive committee, and so I'd like to ask for your consideration approving it as a full board.
So moved. A second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Those who oppose? Policy approved.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much for that. Moving on to action item six, Orange County Workforce Development Board Supportive Services Policy.
I'm going to ask that you turn to page 53 through 59. Where you can see the red line edits for the supportive service policy. This policy was reviewed by the board and approved last quarter. However, there were some changes that we needed to make sure that we maintain compliance with the law. There was some additional language, as you'll see in the red line, that we needed to remove because it makes us noncompliant and it creates further restrictions where we didn't need further restrictions for the participants that we serve. Please note that all policies are drafted by us, go in front of PDD for approval, and then we typically bring them in front of you for full approval. This policy had been approved by EDD in the past, and we made small changes to it. We were intending to make small changes to it, but when it was presented in the last board meeting, there were changes that I didn't see that affect our program. So I'm removing the language that restricts access to additional funding for supportive service. Please keep in mind the last board meeting we did approve to increase to $6,000. So now participants in our workforce system have up to $6,000 available to them for support service. Previously was three. So this policy was reviewed last board meeting, but it was also reviewed by all three committees this term or this round of board meetings. And so I'm asking for this committee to, our full board to approve the changes that were made to this policy so that we are compliant.
Any questions? Do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Okay, second. Any opposition? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Motion approved.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure, Desiree, because this doesn't seem consistent with what we've done in the past. Typically, you do roll call for the approval. Is it still okay to do it this way?
In person, it's fine. Yes.
Okay.
Roll call is only mandatory for virtual meetings.
Gotcha. Okay. I just want to make sure we're compliant.
Great. All righty. Action item number eight, Orange County Workforce Development Board non-elected member appointments.
Seven.
All right. Seven, Youth Program Special Initiative.
All right, so this board may remember about a year ago, we started exploring
different types of contracts. For example, pay for performance, plus performance, and then our standard contract, which is cost reimbursement, right? And so we went through a stage of exploring different options. And we left off of the youth committee deciding if we wanted to explore this for a special youth population. And so over the last year or so, the youth committee has been meeting and discussing different alternatives for introducing a performance-based contract to the community. And so as a result of those conversations, there are two action items that we're requesting you'll review and approval of today. The first action item, I apologize, did I have to say the page number?
No.
Sorry. Sorry, I got to talk. Pages 60 and 61, I apologize. So the action item is to, number one, approve moving forward with requesting approval from EDD and DOL to develop a special pilot program using VOLA youth funding to serve youth with disabilities in Orange County. So that's action one. Action two is to approve the development of a pilot cost plus performance, which is a cost reimbursement plus performance-based payments, for a special pilot program contingent on the approval of EDD and DOL. So we're asking for permission, support from this board to go to DOL and ask for permission, DOL and EDD for permission to use our dollars in this way to serve a specific population. Typically, our workforce dollars are in support of all youth in Orange County. We're just going to pull aside a certain amount of money to serve youth with disabilities and do a cost plus performance contract with that provider.
Question. What percentage?
That's a great question. And so I think that what we need to do is explore with DOL and EDD first on whether or not we're allowed to do this. And then I can go back to the youth committee and say, okay, based off of the recommendation of DOL and EDD, here's how much money they think is acceptable for us.
What was the age range?
Our youth are 14 to 24. So it depends on if we go within school or out of school. I think for the special population, it should be a combination of both.
Question. Are we setting a precedent by doing this, or is this happening in other states?
No, we're not setting a precedent by doing this. It does happen in other locations. We had met with San Diego. They didn't do it for individuals with disabilities. They did it for just involved. We actually have a cost plus performance based contract with our one-stop operator. So it's not something new for workforce systems. It's new for us because we've had some challenges on performance with our service providers, and so we're trying a different strategy.
Not a question per se, but just a recommendation that Department of Rehab does serve you 16 to 21 in school. So here's an opportunity to work together and reach out to those youth, perhaps go enrollment.
Charlie, if you're going to set aside money, I'm here for it.
Hey, whatever.
16 to 21? Okay. And then you said it's in school?
Yes.
Okay.
One final question regarding the contract type. I remember the conversation that we had about this. So could you clarify and confirm that this is the kind of contract whereby milestones will be injected before any payments are to be
collected? Absolutely. And so we have to go to DOL and EDD to get permission on what those milestones are, and they have to approve them. So it's not where we can just say that you showed up today and now you get a payment. It has to be something that both DOL and EDD says this is acceptable. So absolutely. Now, I want to be clear, so when we say cost reimbursement, that's just their general cost of operating, right? Because we discussed that most service providers don't have the ability to go with a performance-based contract only. So they'll have their normal operating costs covered. However, there are going to be payments for meeting certain performance metrics.
Understood. They don't want to be a bank.
Correct.
Any other questions? And again, this is a pilot that we're basically testing out in terms of the type of contract, cost plus performance contract. Any other questions, comments before we take a motion? Okay. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Okay. I'll second. anyone opposed? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right, well, thank you so much for that. And now we are ready to move on to action item number 8, the Workforce Development Board, non-elected member appointments.
All right, so board members may remember that we decided at the board to offer opportunities for people in the community to serve on our board and support us. There are two roles on this board. There are voting members and there are non-voting members.
We believe that this allows us to, number one, expand our service delivery and allow subject matter experts to come to the table to help us make decisions. But it also creates an opportunity for individuals in the community to learn more about our board, grow with our board, and then grow into opportunities for appointments when seats open, right? And so over a year, we have gone out and met with various members of the community and invited them to join our board. So today I have five individuals that I'm asking for this board to consider appointing as non-elected board members. Now, I want to say this. Some of these board members will become full appointments when the Board of Supervisors starts accepting appointments again from the Workforce Development Board. So I want to be clear that today we're inviting them to be non-voting members, but several months from now, I don't know how long it's going to take, they may become full members of this board.
So there's a question. So they're not voting on this?
No, they can't.
Okay, so that's the quorum you need. Okay.
Yeah.
Do we have to be nice to them?
Yes, you do. We want to like them.
I do. I like them a lot.
Don't scare them away.
Yeah.
I just want to say the side of the table's been making all the motions today. So
that's what happened. They all come over there.
Competition.
So the recommendation here is to review and approve the appointments of non-elected members. Let's start with the youth committee. Sherry Han Lam and Sloan Keen.
Good friend here. Okay.
Sherry. That's Sherry. Okay, great. Okay, so do we have a motion to approve?
I'll move.
I'll second.
Second. I'm sorry, I'm going to go second.
Second, yeah.
All right. All in favor?
Labor always wants.
Any other polls? Great. Moving on to the review and approve the appointments of the non-elected members to the Business Services Committee. That's Heather Goffholm and Dr. Glenn Rothmore. Please raise your hand. Great. Do we have a motion to approve?
I'll move.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Great. And with our last category, review and approve appointment of the Orange County Workforce Development Board non-elected members to the One-Stop Oversight Committee. That's Karima Feldes. Do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Right. All right. Motion's approved. Thank you. All right. So we've gotten that business out of the way. And welcome, everyone. All right. Moving on to, we have a few presentations here, starting with the Employment Development Department Labor Management Information by Maritza Gamboa.
Good morning, everyone. I hope you could hear me. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. Okay. Please let me know if you can see my screen. Okay, so good morning and thank you for inviting me to the meeting. I'll be sharing with you monthly labor force industry employment figures for Orange County, as well as comparing annual averages and job advertisement information. So let's start by looking at the annual average unemployment rates for the past 10 years from 2012 through 2022 for the county and the three local workforce development areas. So the blue dotted line is the county's annual average unemployment rates. The dark blue bar are the rates for the Orange County local workforce development area. The orange is for Anaheim LWDA, and the gray bar is for Santa Ana LWDA. So in the last 10 years, OC LWDA's unemployment rate has been below the county's rate, with the exception of 3 years, 2017, 2018, and 2019, where the Orange County Workforce Development Area's rate matched the county's. Three other BDAs, OC's unemployment rate remains below Anaheim's and Santa Ana's rates. It is in 2019 that all three LWDAs and the county had the lowest rate over the 10-year period. The following year, 2020, was the highest mortgage impacted by COVID-19. Year over between 2019 and 2020, the county's unemployment rate went from a low 2.8% all the way up to 9%. The Orange County Workforce Development Area's unemployment rate increased by 6% between 2019 and 2020, going from a 2.8% up to 8.8%. Since 2020, the unemployment for the county and for the Orange County Workforce Development Area have declined by 3% each year. So last year's estimated annual average unemployment rate for the county was 3%. The Orange County Workforce Development Area, 2.9%, the Anaheim Local Workforce Development Area, 3.2%, and Santa Ana Local Workforce Area, 3.1%. This is the county's annual average total non-farm employment from 1990 through 2022. The dips you see on the graph are the recessions that have occurred. Since 1990, the county has added 476,100 jobs, reaching 1,658,000 jobs in 2022. However, the 2022 annual average non-farm employment is still 95,000 jobs below the 2019 pre-pandemic level of 1,673,400 jobs, which was the county's largest annual average employment. The chart below analyzes the past 3 years of non-farm employment. Between 2019 and 2020, total non-farm in all industry sectors suffered declines due to the pandemic. Leisure and hospitality declined the most. However, in the following 2 years, that same sector experienced the largest year-over increases, adding 17,200 jobs between 2020 and 21, and 41,500 jobs between 2021 and 2022, with most of the gains in accommodation and food services. All industries added jobs between 2021 and 2022, but leisure and hospitality was the only sector to have double-digit year-over percent changes. This chart depicts the industry sector's actual employment levels for each of the years 2019 through 2022. Orange County's three largest industry sectors, professional and business services, trade, transportation and utilities, and educational and health services, usually account for approximately 50% of the county's total non-farm employment. Only three industries had an annual average employment higher in 2022 than in 2019. They were construction, professional and business services, and educational and health services. This is the county's monthly labor force from January 2020 through the most recent available, December 2022. The blue line is total labor force, orange is employment, and the gray dotted line is the unemployment rate. When the pandemic first hit between the months of February 2020 through May 2020, you see a huge spike in the unemployment rate, reaching 15.5% in May. And at the same time, there was a tremendous decline in civilian employment, as well as total labor force. As the months go by, you can see the trend line for both the labor force and employment increasing. However, employment has increased more over the months than the labor force. So the number of people finding employment is larger than those joining the labor force, as can be seen in the chart where the gap between the blue and orange lines get closer together as the months progress. So this dynamic is also reflected in the unemployment rate. As the number of employed increases, along with the labor force, the unemployment rate declines. As of December 2022, the labor force and employment levels are still below the pre-pandemic values of February 2020, and the county's unemployment rate was 2.5%, which is lower than the pre-pandemic month when the rate was 2.8%. So what this basically translates to is that it's a tight labor market. Most of those who want to work are working, and employers are finding it hard to fill openings. Let's switch to monthly industry employment. The county has added 288,400 jobs between April 2020 to December 2022, reaching 1,702,400 jobs, and has fully recovered all of the 269,400 jobs lost during the pandemic months of February to April of 2020. In fact, as of December, the county is 19,000 jobs above the pre-pandemic month of February 2020 and the largest non-farm employment level on record since 1990. Month over, between November and December 2022, the county added 4,000 jobs. Six industry sectors added jobs over the month, with transportation and utilities increasing the most, adding 2,900 jobs, with 50% of the gain in retail trade. Leisure and hospitality was the second industry sector to add the most jobs, increasing by 2,100 jobs, and almost 60% of that gain was in accommodation and food services. Professional and business services decreased the most between November and December, losing 3,100 jobs. And most of the decline was in administrative and support services, which includes your temporary firms and your staffing agencies. Year over, between December 2021 and December 2022, total non-farm employment increased by 70,300 jobs. Seven sectors had year-over gains, with leisure and hospitality increasing the most, adding 22,400 jobs, and nearly 68% of that increase was in accommodation and food services. Only three sectors had year-over declines, with financial activities reporting the largest employment loss of 2,100 jobs. So we're nearing the third year anniversary since COVID-19 hit. As of December, the county has recovered all of the 269,400 jobs lost during the pandemic months of February through April 2020. Six industry sectors have fully recovered all the jobs lost, and four still remain below their pre-pandemic levels. Of the six sectors that have fully recovered, educational and health services not only recovered all of the 31,900 jobs lost, but has gained an additional 18,400 jobs. Within the sector, 77% of those jobs were in healthcare and social assistance, which gained an additional 14,100 jobs on top of recovering the 24,600 jobs lost. Government lags the most of all the sectors and has not managed to gain any of the jobs lost during the pandemic. Using Burning Glass, Labor Insights Help Wanted online data series to look at labor demand. This chart shows the total number of monthly ads over the three-year period from January 2020 to January 2023. As of last month, the number of ads is 5,354 ads below a year ago in January of 2022. It is 3,370 ads below the two years ago in 2021, and 6,316 ads below January 2020. The smallest number of ads was in April of 2020 amid the pandemic, and the largest number of ads was in May of 2022. Here are the top five employers. industries, occupations, and cities with the most ads in the county. So of all the jobs that were specified, there were 12,020 ads offering full-time, 3,566 part-time, and 629 offering the work from home as an option. Of course, most of the jobs are in Irvine, which is predominantly a major industry. So the labor force and industry employment data that I shared was for December. So it might have sounded like old data. The January and February 2023 data will be released until next month in March due to the annual benchmark. So I highly encourage you all to access and click around our website for information, including the scheduled release of the monthly data. Don't hesitate to contact me should you have questions or need assistance in accessing data. Thank you again for your time. Appreciate it.
Great. Thank you so much, Maritza. Do any questions for Maritza? Or any comments? We know that we have different sectors represented around the table. What are your, I mean, this is data. Data gives you one perspective, but what's been your experience out there for those who work in the certain industries? I'm curious to know. Let me start off by saying from the healthcare industry perspective, while the numbers are showing that we fully recovered, I believe we were set back in 2020, even prior to the pandemic, hospitals were facing shortages. So while the numbers look good on paper, we're still in a situation where we have shortages, critical shortages that we have to fill. You know, which means that we still have work to do in finding qualified and trained candidates. But what about some of the other sectors that are represented? Construction?
Construction is running steady. I think our contractors and developers are watching the markets and inflation, and the interest rates are really stifling some jobs. But so far, they're kind of pushing forward and going. We have a steady kind of employment, but we do have what we call people on the books. I think there are people in construction that are kind of lagging employment. It's not as booming as it was once the recession ended. When we're heading into COVID, we were going this way, but it is steady. It's not, we don't see real signs of collapse or recession, but we're not seeing a boom market. We're seeing a pretty steady employment. The people that are working for companies are still working, but it's backfilling those folks. We're having, it's harder to bring new people in. Everybody's kind of at capacity. So until it booms out a little bit, to bring folks, young people in, it's a little more difficult in our industry. But it is working. It's not showing signs of recession.
Thank you. Yes. And if I may, just to add, there's a need for a lot of employees, but with a specialty. Just to give you an example, we need drivers with a Class B and a Class A. That is right now one of the industries that is lacking. I don't know if you heard some of the issues with the trash pickup in Santa Ana and other cities. That is why. Because we need qualified individuals that have those specialty licenses. And so perhaps even talking to the companies and making perhaps an effort to subsidize some of that training, perhaps that would be an idea that we could help, right?
Getting the license.
Yeah.
How about any other?
I'll piggyback on that. School districts, we need bus drivers, same thing, licensing issues. So we're trying to figure out how to do our own program to license them. But in general, instructional aides, teachers, ESL teachers, we're trying to expand our ESL and just find a teacher and folks that are willing to come and teach has been a challenge for us, which is you hear about all over, you know, a lot. So I would like to, I don't know if that report is in our packet.
It's not. I typically email it out after the meeting.
Yeah, very, very interesting. I have a bunch of questions, but they don't make sense to me right now. I have to see that data again and sort through it. So,
Right. And then,
yes.
Yeah, just to add from the job seeker perspective, because we're the ones where our staff is kind of dealing with the different types of job seekers that come through our one-stop centers. We're noticing that a lot of job seekers are looking for more options when it comes to employment. They're a lot more pickier, and they are looking more for either 100% telework options as opposed to in person. So that, you know, can make it somewhat challenging depending on, you know, the employers that are hiring and the needs. You know, obviously, driving positions can be teleworked. Not yet. Our professional job seekers continue to also have success. We have an experience unlimited program. That's what we call it. And it's basically a networking group of professionals that, you know, through their networking, they help themselves get jobs. They also do a lot of employment preparation workshops amongst each other. One highlight that I saw from one of our latest reports, we had somebody that obtained a job with the LA Department of Mental Health as a pharmacy supervisor, and they started at $140,000 a year. And then another person also got a project management job for $90,000 a year. So they are doing pretty well, you know, with regards to, you know, in addition to the everyday, you know, folks that, you know, get different jobs in different industries, but our professional folks are also, you know, doing well and trying to get those well-paying jobs or well above, you know, the cost of living here for Orange County for sure. So that's just some additional information.
And that's an interesting point on professionals, people with skills. We just had a guy came to us. We have a unit at the airport. They handle the bridgeways and mechanics. And he came from an electrical shop, electrician. He was a construction electrician. I said, how did you find this? Because we didn't tell him about it. He goes, oh, they saw my resume on LinkedIn and contacted me. So companies are, I don't know if we're using the old, you know, go down to the unemployment office and look on the board. I'm old school. But he said, oh, yeah, they found me, called him, and he wanted to make the move. But he had the, you know, electrical certification, state certification, and 15, 16 years of experience. And they reached out to him. It was pretty, pretty interesting. Yeah.
Question regarding the shortage of trucking, which is an issue that I've heard about even before the pandemic, nationwide is a challenge. So my question is, maybe for Karma, are there any resources within our regional network whereby with the HRTP funding that's going to be reopening in April, might there be a solution that we can create to provide a training pathway? Are there any, for example, driver's trainings programs within the network?
So we had a training program. I don't know if you guys remember this mid-pandemic, where it was a truck driving organization that not only paid you, but trained you. And at the end of it, you had a job, right? You had your license and a job, and it was paid the entire time. And I have to ask myself to remind you the name of the company. Do you guys remember it? CRST. So that's one way, right? So there's companies that are doing it directly, but then also we have our ITA dollars, right? So when participants come in our workforce system, if they desire or they're seeking employment and there's an employer lined up for them, we will make the investment of them going to school to get the license or certification. So I don't know that needs to necessarily be an HRTP program, but maybe it is where we work together to create a pathway. So if we have an employer at the end of it, I already identified that we can start saying, hey, participants, if you are eligible for VIOA, this employer will hire you. We'll use our workforce dollars to pay for your training. Here's a win for you. There's a direct pathway for this job. So that's going to require that we partner with the employers that have those open positions to identify those opportunities. And if the employers, because remember, we have apprenticeship dollars, that non-traditional apprenticeship dollars, that we are not utilizing. So we can also work with that employer to create an apprenticeship program directly with them. Mm-hmm.
And I just want to add, these are good paying union jobs, I have to say. So once you're in, you have not only a good rate starting, but also great benefits and a path to retirement.
Yeah, these are the short haul drivers. So, you know, the over-road drivers, that's a whole different story. But now with everybody getting deliveries to their houses, that last mile driver, they're all over the place.
I know UPS, I think we brought them to
yeah.
the
yeah.
They will have a short exam done for us.
Yeah.
How about those community-based organizations represented here today? What?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Remind me who you represent. I'm trying to...
Oh, Orange County Labor Federation, 97 unions in Orange County.
Perfect. What is the, just curious, what's the starting salary for these class B and C drivers?
I believe it's $23, but because of the new contract, there's even incentives to be higher. So they do have an incentive, cash incentive. If you get hired, you pass your, you know, probation or whatever it is, you get an incentive as well. That's the need.
And the UPS drivers are even different.
Even higher, yeah. Some of them are even higher.
Because I think so, Big Brothers, Big Sisters.
Yeah,
I'm new. So the reason I'm here is because 6-7 years ago we started serving our youth to age 24. So the goal here is not to kind of reproduce our Create Team program, but to align with partnerships, right? So I have all these youth who have a high school diploma and not necessarily a pathway. With ideally a mentor to walk from there. And so I'd love to kind of aggregate some of this data so we can kind of push it out. Because that's where, where I'm coming at right now, our youth need to be, it's like a sales gig. I need to be like, do you want to make $25 an hour starting salary? Like, that's how I have to be a marketer now. So, I can send my information through Karma maybe, but the goal is to create this alumni program now with partnerships and apprenticeships. And we want to use that money, get those kids out there. So absolutely.
And that's what comes from job fairs. And, sometimes we go to high school job fairs and they can't even come into our industry yet. But you're really whetting people's appetite. Kids don't know what the heck is out there. They know what their parents do. Aside from that, they don't. And at least... you always think they're looking at you with glazed eyes. Hi, can I have the trinket and the candy? But you're getting their minds working to what industries are out there, what's open to them.
You're exactly right. And you can't be what you can't see, right?
That's right.
So the goal here is exposure. So absolutely.
And I think it will be a great opportunity. And again, the invitation is open to all. But I think we should start with the youth committee to perhaps, and Doug, I'm going to put him on this. Perhaps we can do a visit to the apprenticeship programs that we have so that you can see and then talk with the additional knowledge and the view, right, of what it takes. And Republic, which is a company that is desperately needing drivers right now, is in Anaheim, but it's a great opportunity to go actually visit and see what it entails and
the Building Trades has a local partnership with Saddleback High School.
That's right.
We have a program in there, MC3 Multicore. Gives them a kind of an overview of all construction to see if they want to go in. At the end of it, some of these folks are like, I want to do that. My life depended on it. Some people love it and they want to move forward. We also have a partnership with Rancho Santiago College where they can actually come into the industry. We could pull people right out of there, but again, it depends on, like I said, we have a good steady employment right now, and it's a little more difficult to bring new people in, but we show them how to get started, what to do, get jobs wherever you can, work your way up. But yeah, we have two partnerships here in Orange County. We go to job fairs all the time, and the idea there is to just let people know what's out there.
Yeah. Gloria, I heard on the report that business services went down. So as it relates to the unions that you represent, do you see any trends, and what can we do to connect some of the partners in this region to support what you may be seeing?
I think one of the biggest challenges is after the pandemic, as you know, for us, it meant 98% of our folks were unemployed. So, and that's a high number for us. We all, it just trickled down. So I think what it is the new ideas and innovations that the business community, it's realizing, like we were just talking about, working from home as an idea. And some of those jobs, because they can be done from a distance, actually have trouble outside of Orange County. And this is something that we need to talk about as well. In the communications, just to give you an example, we had a 700 workforce in Tustin with AT&T. And right now, that venture went to half of the amount because all the other work was contracted out. And it was contracted out, unfortunately, out of the state. So those are the trends that we need to keep an eye on what's going on and how can we support the businesses so that the business stays within Orange County and in California. I mean, but those are larger conversations, right? So from a union perspective, you know, we tried, but it is larger than that. So these are the conversations that perhaps, you know, a subcommittee, we can talk and we can reach out to those businesses to make sure that those jobs are here and that they stay put.
So that's really part of the business services. Let's go over to Shantha.
Sure, I was just going to add on the youth avenue, we have done our own internal workforce development program and what we've seen to be successful when we're employing youth 18 to 24. A couple of deviations from what normal workforce has done is one, we support the youth for a year. And what we're finding, we just had our first graduating cohort, super successful, but the 6 month mark is where they really struggle. So I think it's great we're talking about getting them in the job, but we have to talk about those ongoing supports and services. And at that 6 month mark is where we really start to see things fall apart, things crumble. That's when we're coming in with mental health services. That's when we're coming in with that support. And that has been really successful in getting them over that hump. And so that's really important. And then on the other side is we're working with the companies to be ready to take our youth. So that's the other thing. We're doing trauma-informed training for every company who signs up to take our youth, which what we've heard is this doesn't just help us help that young person. This helps our entire workforce. They've had less leaves. They've had less absences. They've had less employee issues because we're working with the corporation to be ready to have a culture that's conducive to taking young people. Our young people today are experiencing more mental health than ever before. Our young people today are experiencing more challenges, stress than ever before because of social media and information and all the pressures of the world. So we have to make sure our workforces are ready for them just as much as they're ready for our workforce. And so it's that balance. So I love the conversation around getting them in the job. I just never want to leave off the other side of it about helping them sustain and maintain through that first year of employment, which is really the crux of a career path.
I'm Greg Scott again from Community Action Partnership. One of the challenges that, I mean, as an employer, one of the things that we did last year, we made sure all of our staff, because we also run our county food bank as well, and so we made sure all of our staff were making a living wage. And then on the other side, in terms of workforce development, we've been talking to SCE. I know Sloan serves on the CLA as well. And so it's like all these groups are having this conversation, but we cannot have a real conversation unless we create the right ecosystem that also includes housing.
Yes.
So we have people who are leaving the county or young people who are leaving the county because they just can't afford to live in the county. So it's hard to work and talk, have these conversations if you don't kind of look at it holistically. Mental health is a big part of it. Food insecurity is a big part of it. And so it's how do we look at systems to have the right ecosystem where our young people can be successful and they stay in the county, they raise their family in the county, but a lot of people leave the county because they can't afford to stay.
To Mr. Scott's point, I had a question on the data for Maritza. Where is the disenfranchised population reflected in our unemployment rate? So is that an unemployment rate inclusive of those that are actively not seeking jobs, those that are in a phase of the correction system, those that are underemployed, the working homeless, those kinds of populations? Is there any, how is that reflected?
So I don't know if MERS is still in here, but typically unemployment is based off unemployment claims.
Okay.
So there's not a system in place to figure out how many unemployment, like individuals who are truly unemployed or in this community. It's our best guess. So we did a map on how many homeless people, and then we did a map on how many people were in the justice system. Maybe we could figure it out that way, but there is not a tracking system for that.
Yeah. And that was what I was kind of thinking, because we're all saying tight labor market. There's 500,000 people that get released from prison systems every year, and they come out with HVAC certs and driving experience and all of these other things. I would love to see that population to be served through these programs.
And again, the building trades in LA, we have with our G3 program. There is a big, LA has really been, Los Angeles has been very good at anti-recidivism. They bring a lot of people in. Our area, we haven't really caught up to them, but they do a heck of a job. But even within that population, we're hearing, you know, they get out, some of them have the certs, they have welding classes, they have this. And a lot of them really make it, but some of them they find after a year or so, it's like, man, I like what the money was, but geez, I have to, you know, it's a very, construction's a very disciplined atmosphere to work in because, you know, it's not a free for all. Everything has to happen in a sequence. Everything has to happen daily. And it is a pretty autocratic business area. And some people just don't fit. How do I have to listen to that guy? Well, because he's your foreman. He's telling you, it's not up to you where to fall. You have to put it where it goes. You know, but they said, we're finding out now that some of the folks coming out of prison, and I think that's more of a mental health issue because, you know, you've been locked up for 4 or 5 years. You know, that's like coming back from war. You know, you have real issues going on. And we talk about getting jobs, but there's a group up in Los Angeles that they're doing more of a holistic view where they work on their mental health. They work on, because in prison it's fight or flight, but there's no flight, there's nowhere to go. So it's mostly fight. And they get into situations on job sites where their first inclination is to, you're threatening me. And they don't understand how to come down from that. So there's a lot of other issues with the prison population than just, hey, we need to get them a job. And it's very similar to the homeless population. Everyone thinks, oh, if we just had a house, well, there's a whole host of other issues. And I don't think political people, we deal with politics a lot in our area, but I don't think they have the holistic view of it. I think they want a solution right now in anti-recidivism. Can't you put these guys to work? It's construction. These guys are, you know, they look fit. It's a whole different ballgame, people. Right. You know, so that's a bigger issue I think we need to talk about. Yeah.
When the community colleges are receiving funding to support formerly incarcerated folks. I know Salvak just received it. It's a Rising Scholar. Lincoln has one, and it's to support formerly incarcerated people to get a degree and they get full support, including mental health.
Do you have information you can share?
I can read it. It's new, okay. But we just received word we got the funding. It's called the Rising Scholar program.
Yes, thank you. Great. We'll get it out to everyone. Right.
And if I may, just to highlight, one of the biggest things is the disconnection in some of the services. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening in Orange County. We have great programs such as Kinship, Neutral Grounds that are providing the services, but I think we're not connecting the dots, right? Yeah. And I think that's exactly what we need to do. We need to make sure that not only the public, but also the C3s that are out there, the service providers know that there's other services that if they're not capable of.
Hello.
I think we got disconnected.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, David.
This is I lost audio.
Yeah, I did too. That happened first thing this morning too.
Okay. Well, will they know that? Will they know that?
I don't know.
Desiree, can you hear us?
Maybe you could try in the chat, sending them a little message. Yeah. Okay.
Attendees have lost audio. Do you see that?
Yeah, I see your chat, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's me.
Yeah, I just saw that. You saw me lean in. I don't know if there's any purpose of coming on camera, but I'm just doing a verbal presentation, so I thought I might. Okay, that looks like Desiree just left.
Oh, maybe you're off the hook for your presentation.
That would be okay. I have many, many obligations today.
Yes, I understand. Multitasking is one of our fortes.
Yes. Let's see. I'm just going to text Karma.
All right.
Oh, they're back.
And then if you have a computer, I'm able to provide that to you. I want to be careful because a lot of people say, go see Karma, the workforce board. They have supported $30 for people to come to us, thinking that I'm just going to pay for their bill, and that's not how it works. You have to be actively involved in WIOA and participating in our program for me to be able to provide you support services.
Is it just a one-time payment?
It's not. So up to $6,000. So as many times as you need, up to that $6,000.
There's a COC board meeting this afternoon. I'm also on the COC board. That's where housing dollars also come from in our county. And we are about to apply for a youth grant, the YHDP, which has given other counties millions of dollars. So if you are interested in the youth and want to figure out how to help us house them, come on over. We can talk, but we need more voices at the table in helping us really carve out this funding. In Orange County, we have the least amount of funding for transitional age for housing. So I'm pushing for that. So we'd love to have your voices join.
Yes, thank you. All right, are we back? Okay, all right. So thank you again. This was a very rich discussion. We're not able to do this on Zoom, so it's good to really hear all the voices around the table. So why don't we move on? The next action item, let's see where we have here. David Schinder, and David is going to be sharing information on, where am I, on my, oh, Orange County Workforce Regional.
I've lost audio.
David, can you hear it?
It's going in and out constantly. Can you hear me is the most important thing.
Yes, we can hear you now. Yes.
Terrific. Okay. Well, thank you for having me today. And it's my pleasure to provide your board with some basic information regarding an essential workforce development process that your board and adjacent boards are currently engaged in. And this is the development of our local and regional workforce plans. Again, I'm hearing you guys on and off, so I'm assuming you can hear me. Send me a signal if you can't. I've had the pleasure, Madam Chair, and members, to present to your board within the last year on the requirements for local workforce development boards as part of a strategic planning process. And you might recall, if you participated in those discussions, that one of the core responsibilities for local workforce development boards funded under the Federal Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act is to develop, in accordance with a cycle prescribed by the governor, a four-year local plan. And so under WIOA, three levels of plans are produced. There's a statewide plan that guides the overall workforce development activities funded under WIOA across the state. once those state plans, specifically the California state plan, is approved by the U.S. Department of Labor, the state then produces guidance to local boards and regions regarding the next two tiers of plans. As you may be aware, and I know that many members of the board are, there are 45 local workforce areas throughout California, and each of those areas is required to produce a local plan. With the implementation of WIOA, our Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act, in 2015, California established initially 14 and now 15 regions. Both regions and local areas are required to produce four-year plans. The cycle that we're currently in is a four-year cycle that covers program years 2021 through 2024. That's a period from July 1st of 2021 through June 30th of 2025. So it may seem odd then that, you know, if we're smack dab in the middle of that planning period, why then would we be producing regional and local plans? Well, it is a curious feature of WIOA that at the midpoint in our four-year planning process, we produce a mandated biennial update or biennial modification to those plans. So I've had the pleasure of working with the Orange County Workforce Development Board, along with its two adjacent boards in the county, the City of Anaheim and City of Santa Ana boards, to develop updates to our existing four-year plan. So just for the purposes of clarity, I want to make sure that I'm communicating that we do have in place two governor-approved plans, a program year 21 through 24 local plan and a 21 through 24 regional plan. And what we're getting ready to release for public comment are two-year modification of those up plans. Yes. Terry? Can you hear me? Hello? Can you hear me?
So right now, we've gathered some ideas about what should be the plan and putting those notes in there. We're going to do release for public comment. Oh. Well, you're echoing.
David, why don't you turn off your screen?
Yeah, maybe we can just hear you.
Yeah, we're just listening to you. So turn off the video portion. Okay.
But I think he's muted.
Unmute yourself, David.
Okay, so where are we in terms of what you heard?
So you said that we have improved plans.
Yes. Okay, so we're at the point where we have drafted our biennial modifications to the local and regional plans, and we are ready this week to release those modifications for public comment under a required 30-day public comment period. When we complete that 30-day period, we will be sending our drafts to the state for their compliance review, where they'll determine whether we addressed all the required content elements of the plans. The two-year modification is basically a process under which we update the plan to keep it as current as possible, so we include new statistics. I would like to point out that the plans have content that is very specifically prescribed per the statute and state guidance. So a lot of times the individuals who encounter these plans are surprised that they're not more plan-like. In many ways, they're more scan-like. They're a scan of the region and they're a scan of the local areas, with the regional plan focusing on the regional economy, demographics, and overarching strategies, and the local plan focused on partnerships and service delivery. I'm hoping that all I'm saying is coming through at this point. So as I mentioned, we'll be submitting by March 31st, and in May, will be returning to your board with the plans in the post-public comment period to review them with you and seek Workforce Development Board approval. The plans will then go to the Orange County Board of Supervisors for final review and approval, and then it will be submitted to the California Workforce Development Board by no later than June 30th, which is the due date for signed copies to be received. So that in a nutshell is our local and regional plans, where we're at, and I would be delighted to entertain any questions that board members may have.
Any questions from the board members?
Thank you, David, for the presentation on the process. I'm curious to know if you could just share maybe one or two highlights, content or trends that are going to be in this this particular version of the presentation.
Sure. So as the board, as board members may imagine, because the biennial update or biennial modification, seeks to update the content of the original plan, which was developed in 2021, a lot of the content updates we're making are areas where we want to highlight the difference between delivering services during the most difficult times of the pandemic, which is when we crafted the original version of the plans, to the present. So we provide updates and data, much like the information that Maritza shared with your board earlier. We provide updates in strategies. So when we submitted our local and regional plans for initial approval back in 21, we were a largely virtual system. Never completely closed our brick and mortar shops. Services were available by appointment, but the vast majority of our services were being delivered online. And we talk about our new hybrid reality of blending in-person services with virtual services. So that would characterize a lot of the updates that we've made, is that move from full pandemic to this endemic stage of COVID-19.
Thank you, David. Any other questions? Okay, if not, David, thank you so much for the presentation. And we'll wait to hear back after the public review period. So thanks, David.
Thank you very much, Terry. Right. Appreciate it.
So moving on to item number 11, Orange Workforce Alliance, Annette Kelly Whittle.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Annette Kelly Whittle. I am the regional organizer for the Orange Workforce Alliance. That is a new name, formerly Orange Regional Planning Unit. As David mentioned, there are 15 regional planning units throughout the state of California. And here in Orange County, I serve three directors. So that's Carmel Lacey with the Orange County Workforce Development Board, Santa Ana Workforce Development Board is Deborah Sanchez, and Marco Lucero with the Anaheim Workforce Development Board. If you turn to page 89 in your packets, I'm just going to give you an update on our region and what we have going on, some of which David has already mentioned. One of the things that has already taken place is a Workforce Development Board training. There is a link here to that past training, as well as there is an upcoming training that's March 21st. You should have received a meeting invite from me. That is going to be at the Irvine Chamber of Commerce. And we also have CWA Bob Lenter on to kind of give you a little bit more information on that. But that's March 21st from 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock. We need as much participation as we possibly can. And for those of you who are new, you can also go back and watch the previous board training that was delivered by David Schinder previously. So we've talked about regional and local plan. I'm not going to go over that anymore. I think David did a good job there. And so we do plan on posting tomorrow, February 23rd. It will be open from February 23rd to March 24th. It will be posted on the Orange Workforce Alliance website. which is the new website. It will be posted on all three workforce development boards, and then we'll put out messaging through our OC Region listserv to all of our community members and partners, just letting them know that that's available for viewing. We ask the board members to also use that time to take a look at it, and provide any public comment also on that during that time. We had our January 25th, we had our three Workforce Development Board regional meetings. So that was where all three Workforce Development Board members came together. David Schindler did facilitate that meeting. That's the second one that we've had, and we plan on having two every year. So going forward, the next one should be about June. During that time, we have talked about setting our mission, our core values, and our goals. So those are some of the things that were discussed. And so to be continued, David will put out some more information regarding that. Some updates on our regional grants. We just completed the regional implementation 4.0 December 31st, as they just did. I still feel like it's the new year. We just hit the new year, but time is moving fast. But it ended December 31st. We are in the closeout period, which will be February 28th. We've expended almost all of it. There may be about $4,000 left from Santa Ana that comes back to us and it goes back to the state. But for the most part, we've completed everything. The regional planning implementation dollars is the dollars that really is used to advance the regional projects. So one of the things that it pays for is actually regional planning, is my role, regional organizer. So each one of the 15 planning units has a regional organizer. And so as a part of that, one of the things is, you know, establishing industry sector meetings, industry sector projects. A lot of you were having conversations here, providing each other industry intelligence. I need that information. I need more of that information, and we need to formalize coming together to meet regarding these things. You had mentioned about just other organizations having different types of meetings, whether that's CEO Leadership Alliance. We need to have regional convenings. We are all trying to get out the same information, trying to gather the same information and put together programs that really serve not only the individuals that need to move into employment, but also our businesses. However, our goal is really to create regional industry sector partnerships so that we don't have, you know, 20 different, you know, meetings going on where we're trying to tap into the same employers. In addition, a lot of our work, our services have some kind of business engagement funding. So our business services reps, we have EDD who have employer engagement, we have Department of Rehab who have employment engagement specialists, as well as our community colleges who have employer engagement specialists. So if we were to come together as a region, bring those resources to the table, divide and conquer, so that we can, one, go out there and tell more businesses about the full entire ecosystem of workforce development, we can get farther faster. So that is a goal of this year, to really try to continue to pull these organizations together, have a strategy that we can collectively go out and talk to businesses, garner that business intelligence, really sit down and partner with our businesses to come up with solutions. What are you talking about as far as needing Class A and Class B drivers? You know, on the one side, from the perspective of training these individuals, we have a lot of employers that require the one-year experience. So how do we get to this? You know, we can train them, but if we can't put them into a job until it's a year later, that becomes an issue for workforce development, right? So we need our partners at the table to be able to have that dialogue, and so that we can understand the challenges on each side and try to figure out the solution that's in the middle of that, whether that's healthcare, information technology, or manufacturing. Those are the three that we are currently focused on, and getting those industry sector conversations stronger and really pulling our partners together on that. So, and that's all is what the regional funding is about. It's really kind of advancing the regional plan, advancing these types of initiatives. looking at the grant opportunities that maybe could fund some of these initiatives and making sure there is a pipeline of those individuals so we can remain competitive. The Regional Equity Recovery Program, that is a new grant this year that is partially funded by the California Workforce Development Board and the state of California, as well as funding that comes from the chancellor's office. So this is also a regional program that has provided funding to the region. What's different is that they require the partnership of a more formalized partnership with community colleges. So the Workforce Development Board has had to craft the application in partnership with them. They had to submit projects that we included in there, and then it's the funding from the two funding sources. So the chancellor is funding four of those projects, which is one is with North Orange County Continuing Education, Coastline, Saddleback, and Santa Ana Colleges. We don't have a contract just yet. I think it's going before the Board of Supervisors, and so it will start as soon as that contract is executed. The state is a little bit behind. It was supposed to start December 1.
And that, do we know those, what are those projects that are being funded?
There's one of them is an IT project. There is a healthcare project.
ESL.
So the target is English language learners, veterans, immigrants, and first generation students. So those are the populations that we are focused on serving as a part of those projects. This one has direct services, where normally our regional planning grants do not have direct services, right? The more high level. So they're required to have direct services. We'll be leveraging the workforce development GEOA funding to support some of the training that's going to be happening as a part of those grants. We have the regional planning implementation 5.0, another one that was supposed to start January 1. We're still waiting on word for that. That one is our typical regional funding. It is going to be $131,000, so they reduced that funding, but put more money in this RERP funding, which is new. And then we have the prison to employment grant, Heather, so you will like this one. Santa Ana was awarded for the region. They're the lead for our region, so they're going to take the lead on it. But we've got $927,000 to serve individuals who are formerly incarcerated. So they are going to do an RFP to subcontract to community organizations to provide some of those services. But they are serving as the lead for that particular grant. And definitely agree we need those holistic services. And I think, you know, we're pretty much aware of that and need to just really bring our partners together around that community to move those individuals into employment. The community economics and resilience funding. So Jesse, OCBC was awarded the $5 million implementation grant. You may be able to tell us where we are at as far as contracts and all that. I know you were waiting. So
yeah.
Is it still?
We have a contract with the state, and we're trying to contract or send out our the subcontractors. But we should be meeting at least initially as the original HRTC in March, and then can build upon that to expand the HRTC following. So, you said your December, we're like 5 months behind from the state, hence like the delays. But we are again pretty close to having kind of the first, I wouldn't call it a kickoff, but at least an actual conversation about how CERC is going to proceed.
And so for those of you who may not have heard of this, it's the California Economic Resilience Fund. It's state funding that the state released. They broke the state up into 14 regions, unlike the 15th the Workforce Development Board. But Orange County is its own region. So each region was eligible to receive $5 million for a planning grant. It's very much a bottom-up economic development, economic and workforce development funding. So there will be planning tables that are created to bring the community together around what it is they would like to see in their communities. The target is disinvested, underserved, underrepresented populations. And so within Orange County, there are 11 communities that have census tracts that are designated by the Cal Fire Group as disinvested. And so I believe that you guys are willing
have a focus even on those particular communities also, right?
Well, yeah, I think we have maybe a different definition of the disinvested communities, okay. But yeah, they will fall into that.
Okay, so you could, Callan Viral Spring is one way of determining disinvested much in a line with workforce development. So if you look at the survey of the higher road trade partnerships under
have like a low income community. I guess they didn't use the same language. So for we're just applying essentially like a family of four makes this trend. So that's our definition. And so there probably are actually, I mean, through that definition about 20 to 21. You know, show the public what that means in zooming on streets, but from a like 30,000 foot level, just look at just like look at the cities in your head, that's probably like 20 to 21 cities.
How do you access the RFP process for the Prison to Employment grant?
So Santa Ana has not released it, but when they do, I will make sure to send it out to the OCRE and make sure to get it to the boards.
That's for nonprofit partners, any partners that want to be involved in this?
Yes, I'm sure it likely will be nonprofits.
What about the community economic resilience funding?
The community economic resilience funding. So what they have is the High Rose Transition Collaborative, which pretty much is open, Jesse, correct me if I'm wrong, community-based organizations who want to be a part of the planning tables. There will be different planning tables that are led by different community-based organizations that I think have already been identified. So those individuals, I'll just give you an example for workforce development. It's going to be Goodwill who will lead the workforce development planning table. Right? So any workforce development organizations can be a part of that planning table and make sure you know things are moving forward in alignment. And then there's also implementation funding. So ideally, you know, we come out of the planning with good plans that you put forth in the implementation and ask for implementation funding. They did put out a grant, just I believe it's already closed, but they did put out some initial kind of funding that they said was a pilot as part of SERP. So, but it kind of needed to already be underway planning and if I would say shovel ready kind of project ready to go. So I think Orange County Department of Education did put together an application for that initial funding. So and they involved a lot of community-based organizations, so see how that goes. On page 90, you will see a sheet where it says collateral materials. As I said, our new name is Orange Workforce Alliance, so we have a new logo.
I have on the back table our new brochure. So we have a sales speech brochure that's a multi-page one that's kind of targeted for communities and one's targeted for the business population. So those are back there on the back table. These are two new brochures, as well as we have the Orange Workforce Alliance website. So you can take a look at that. Still a work in progress. We're open for any feedback that you may have. We, you know, got it up and going pretty quickly. So there's definitely some things that I think can be improved on and some pages that we still plan on building out on that website. There is. So we are looking. Pretty expensive though. I'm learning.
Yes. One suggestion for me, I'll link on the website. I know it has job seekers, businesses. If there's a way that you could put like an American flag and say, are you a veteran? Or, you know, just to make the portal easier for our veterans, because they tend to get lost a lot. And we do have several organizations that provide them services, but in particular on websites, if a little flag says, are you a veteran? Click here. Just to make it a little easier for
you. Thank you so much for that. Actually, to that point, you can create icons that represent each demographic that the board represents. Be a young person, are you a ESL learner, whatever that might be, just make it that.
Yeah.
Can I just say, besides primarily for business? So the site is really for the businesses in the community for industry sector conversations, but we share information about all the workforce, right? So that I just want to make sure that we're not going too far down the rabbit hole about changes to it.
All I did was look at the website of myself, job seekers.
Yeah. We probably should have looked it, but it really is for her regional work and to entice businesses to play with us and say, oh, this is what they do. They offer job seeker services, but our primary goal of this website is to really do her industry sector conversations, the business pipeline planning. So I just want to make sure we don't go too far down the rabbit hole about the changes.
And then there's links out to all of the three workforce development boards that, you know, kind of does probably get into a little bit more of that.
I don't mean to just look at the name. Is there any confusion between the city and the county? Right, I guess if the five said the business owner did this, I may think it's just the city of Orange, not Orange County.
Because it's not the county. So remember, the region is Santa Ana, Anaheim, and Orange County Workforce Development Board.
Right.
So technically, the Workforce Development Board is its own entity. We're going to get into that a little bit later.
Sure.
It's its own entity. It just happens to be oversight by the county. So I think that when you start saying county, then we start thinking county. But the Workforce Alliance is the three workforce boards in collaboration. This board, by law, is required to do regional planning. And so this is our solution to part of that regional planning.
Okay. I just think as a business owner, I may think it's just for the city of Orange when I see it. That's it.
Well, but it's, yeah, but it's called the Orange Workforce Alliance.
Right. Definitely not Orange County.
Yeah, it's not.
Did I hear you? Because we played with that.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, it was a difficult. We made sure to keep the count down, but yeah.
Lauren? Just a real quick comment, because it is regional, and I'm not sure how involved they are, but there's also, in thinking about inclusion, right? In outreach, I was thinking about the businesses such as the Hispanic Woman Business Council, the Filipino business communities. They are together and they meet, and I hardly ever see the representation in some of the communication. So just keep that in mind also, maybe an invitation to the website, a little bit more of outreach so that those communities can also funnel through and provide the services, especially thinking about the ESL.
Can you introduce us to them? I think that what we try to do is try to find out all the ethnic chambers and specialized groups, and I can only go with the information that was available to me. So that's a group that I was not aware of, and I'd like to connect with them. So if you can share that, I'd be grateful.
And they're in Santa Ana, believe it or not, the Hispanic businesswoman, and they're amazing business owners that are actually looking for employees that perhaps may benefit from this.
Yeah, we work to try to connect with chambers, but from an industry sector, you know, the information that you guys were sharing earlier
we need more of that, and we need to kind of come together in our industry groups. I'm open for small conversations, bigger conversations, but really, in order to solve some of our pipeline issues, we have to have that business partnership. We have to be all sitting at the table and really just kind of working it out together. It cannot be seen as, you can't just tell workforce, oh, well, we need more nurses and walk away. We cannot solve the problem of not having clinical sites. You know, we've got to work that out together. And sometimes that requires advocacy.
Just to have a point of clarification, when it comes to the manufacturing sector, does that include logistics, which would be the transportation part of it? Because you can't get the manufactured product out unless you've got logistics. Yeah. Is that what's part of that umbrella for manufacturing?
It can include anything that is an issue. So at the end of the day, even when you talk about industry sector meetings, it doesn't necessarily even have to be just primarily focused on the, you know, that we need a skilled pipeline. So there are other things, housing, for instance, that affect you having a strong workforce and a vibrant economy. And so really, from an industry sector conversation perspective, it could be anything that is stopping that industry from being competitive that could be part of those conversations that we collectively work on. And initially, you know, you may start with a group, and I might have to bring somebody in from housing or whatever the case may be, but it really is about whatever issues are going to make that business competitive. Typically, workforce is number one on that list, but there's a whole host of other things that go into having a workforce that's here, that can afford housing, that stays in the area, you know, all sorts of things, right? So it can range.
Great. Thank you so much for that. So the word on the street is that the Workforce Development Board is the best kept secret out mm-hmm. there. And we want to change that. I think that all of us around the table have a role that we can play in terms of sharing with your colleagues, sharing with businesses out there about the work of the Orange County Workforce Development Board. So this is a good segue into our next presentation from Matthew Hayes. But I'm wondering, Karma, prior to Matthew speaking, would you like to make a few comments?
In regards to Matthew's?
Yes.
Okay. So over the last 4 years, I've had opportunity to try to gauge where this board is in terms of its understanding of what the actual role of the Workforce Development Board is, the role of the county, and how do we move forward as a workforce system. I was tapped, and I'm just, you're going to know that I'm super transparent, by DOL that I need to get my act together, meaning that this board is responsible for doing far more than what it's doing. And so one of the strategies is to provide education to this board about what is the actual role of this Workforce Development Board so that we can move ahead and correct some of the challenges that we have with the workforce system. I think that there was a conversation when I first got here, I remember some of the board members saying, I thought we were a rubber stamp board. Or I thought, like, there's a lot of confusion about what this board actually is, how it is supposed to work, and the power that this board actually has. And so by the nudging of DOL and states, I think it's important that, number one, that this board understands what your actual role is, right? Number two, this board has to have an MOU because this board does not meet with the board of supervisors, and it's supposed to. It's supposed to be an advisory board. It is not a rubber stamp board. It is not an advisory board. It is a working board. It is a partnership board. I just said that, and I can't believe I said that. Lord have mercy. It is a partnership with the Board of Supervisors. It is not an advisory board. And so I need this board to totally understand what its role is in this community, how does it move forward, and then develop this partnership agreement with the Board of Supervisors so that we are compliant, because right now we don't have one. And so the first step is to invite CWA to provide us training on what is the role of the Workforce Development Board. I will tell you that CWA is probably going to provide some training, but then also the National Association of Workforce Development Boards will too, simply because I think it's necessary, but then also with that little tap on the shoulder by DOL, I think we need to get it together quickly, right? In addition to that, we've got some compliance issues that we need to clear up as a board, and I don't think that by you not understanding what you are and how this board is supposed to work, we're going to be able to empower me to be able to do it, right? So it's important today that you understand what I'm trying to accomplish, that you support this, so that you understand what your role is as board members. CWA is offering training on the 21st, and there's another training on the 31st. And then in addition to that, like I said, NOB will be coming out, providing us training and helping us correct our compliance issues. So with that said, I invited Bob Lantern to come speak today. Unfortunately, he had an unforeseen emergency, but he was gracious enough to ask Matthew Hayes to come and, on his behalf to provide us a little oversight of what we should expect with these training sessions.
Welcome, Matthew.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Good morning. My name is Matthew Hayes. I'm the program director for the California Workforce Association. For those of you that are unfamiliar, we are a statewide nonprofit workforce membership association. So we meet 45 workforce boards in the state of California. Our mission is to advance local and regional job training and workforce development across the state. Our pillars, our first pillar is technical assistance and training. We do this through trainings like the Real World Workforce Force Training. We also do this through 3 annual conferences. Our other pillar is state and federal advocacy. We have lobbyists in Washington and Sacramento. And then lastly, our pillar is strategic partnerships, whether that's the Chambers of Commerce, Department of Education, Chancellor's Office, EDD, really any workforce organization stakeholder that will help move the needle in workforce development and local and regional job training. So as Carmen mentioned, I'm here to speak briefly on behalf of Bob Lanter on the Real Role of Workforce Force Training. He will be the one presenting that to you all. But we're excited to conduct this training for you all. We've been up and down the state providing this training for almost 2 years now. We found that boards really enjoy this training. It's a chance to share what an effective community-centered board does. And so we start with what the workforce system is and why it's bigger than just the Workforce Innovation and Opportunities Act, WIOA. We then go into a real role of workforce, or how workforce boards can play and do their job beyond WIOA funds. And the functions of a workforce board. We conduct research and partnership with the board to look at examples in your local area of socioeconomic opportunities and socioeconomic challenges. And then we have this exercise called Experts in the Room, where we engage you all on your perspective on what you believe these socioeconomic opportunities and challenges are in your area. Because you all are the experts and the leaders in your local area, and essentially no one knows the area better than you. And lastly, we wrap up with developing possible priority areas based on that exercise. And using that conversation to possibly translate the priority areas into an action plan that you all can execute over the next 12 to 24 months. We've done this training with about 15 boards across the state so far. And we're hearing reports that it's really just focused on shifting priorities and has these boards really excited about being centered in their community. So, we look forward to providing this training to you all next month on March 21st, and I'll be happy to take questions. Anything that I cannot answer, I will note down, and I'll be sure to get you those answers for that training on March 21st.
Thank you, Matthew. Any questions for Matthew? I just want to underscore the importance of everyone attending this training. We did label it as mandatory. We see this as an opportunity to reset this board and empower us to really make an impact in the area of workforce development. And also, you know, it's not just, the burden is just not all on us. I mean, we have the opportunity to educate the Board of Supervisors and the county on our role. So I think, you know, this is a critical point in time that we have to really reposition ourselves and to gain an understanding through the MOU process that we'll be engaging some attorneys and the National Workforce Development Board to assist us with this opportunity.
So please make sure to clear your calendars and join us on the 21st. Okay. Next up, yeah. Right, yes.
You mentioned that there was another training. Is it the same and just repeated, or?
No, so there are two. So CWA was hosting a series of trainings across the state. I think there was an invitation I sent out to everybody and said, hey, CWA is having a World Workforce Board training. In addition to some other sessions included, right? They hired they're doing it in partnership with another organization. This is a technical assistance training. So the 21st is a technical assistance training directly for us because of the challenges we have as a workforce system. So it's geared to our issues specifically, whereas the other one is kind of open to the entire workforce community for people to get better understanding. So that's why it's so important for as many of you as possible to participate on the 21st. But I do know there's a few of you that won't be able to make it, and so you've decided to go to the session on the 31st. But the desire is as many of you as you can, please participate on the session that's set up just for our workforce board.
Thank you. Right. Thank you so much, Matthew.
Thank you.
Right. All righty. Moving on to the information items, Business Services Committee. We have a chair update.
Hi. Yes, we had a meeting on Q1 of 2023, whereby we talked about job fairs that were held in end of 2022, as well as surveys. I don't know if there's anybody here who wants to do a quick debrief, but there are materials in the packet around that midway through here.
Yeah.
Want to welcome especially those who have submitted and are now part of the Business Services Committee. We need your support and would love to connect perhaps and talk about how can we have more strategic type of conversations on these committees to perhaps help identify one priority for the year and figure out how we can all align, look at the assets, and a bit of a needle and a dent in that. Are there any questions or comments, or is there anything you'd like to share, Carla?
No, I think that, as you all know, that the Business Services Department is understaffed right now. We did do some interviews. I think we've identified at least one candidate. We currently have Elizabeth operating Business Solutions for us. That's the only person that is leading that initiative, so we're very short-staffed. We hope to have more of those positions filled. I think I did share with the Business Services Committee that we lost some funding because we were understaffed for quite some time, so we had to get funding back to the state. But hopefully, if we're able to get the appropriate amount of staff, we can do more business services in the community. And in that respect, we wouldn't have to give money back to the state because we weren't able to send it.
In terms of surveys, it's page 92 on in the packet.
Okay. Are there any questions, comments, thoughts, feedback?
All right. I'll just quickly get, so we pushed out a survey, which I'm happy to share with everybody. We represent probably mostly businesses under 10 employees, restaurant, retail, hospitality, professional service. Of the 1,000 respondents that came back, half of them expect to hire between 1 and 5 employees this year. So we want to make sure that we can push them to these services because they don't know about them. So I think it's an awesome opportunity to make sure we're touching the smallest businesses to go through this.
Right.
I gotta tell you that I did meet with Cal State Fullerton for support on outreach. We've had some challenges with the business community actually knowing that the services exist. And so I did have a conversation with the students at Cal State Fullerton in regards to possibly doing a pilot project for us for outreach. So hopefully by the next board meeting, I'll have an update to provide to this group about what that looks like and how. And if they're able to support us in getting more awareness in the community that we exist and what we do.
All right.
On the survey, can you just clarify client needs analysis with that?
On which one?
This is page 93. The bar graph.
So when they contact the business services, 93 or 277, when they contact the business services office, or technically it's Elizabeth, she basically asked them, what support can I provide to you, right? And so based off of that conversation, she'll put, like, you need this, this, and this. So it could be more than one service or just one service. So she's tracking the type of services or conversation she's having with the business industry as they call in or engage with us.
So they, in this case, the customer needs additional service. Is that what I mean?
Where, what line are you? So like there's a job.
So client needs analysis, yeah. Where it's a 66.
The second highest.
Okay, so
Elizabeth. Can I answer that?
Yes.
Yeah. So the client needs analysis is really just, it's the first initial contact with the business. So it could be really just letting them know what services we offer, and then they, you know, go back to their team and decide how they want to move forward. Sometimes it's, you know, just them telling us what issues we have and then kind of working together. So the client needs analysis is really just that initial conversation, and then everything else kind of goes from there. So sometimes it's a referral to another service. Sometimes it's, you know, we develop an OJT or work experience. So the client needs analysis is really just the name for that initial contact.
Okay, thanks.
Great. Thank you, Annalise. All right, thank you. Youth Committee report.
No.
Okay.
So yeah, so John's not here today. So I'll speak on behalf of the youth committee. The youth committee met to discuss the performance of the service providers. There were some concerns in terms of invoices being submitted on time. What's our next steps? How are we going to handle the service providers moving forward? As you know, we as the workforce system can't make decisions about funding unless we get invoices on time. So that's one challenge. The other thing is the participant numbers. I believe that there was somewhat of an increase in some of the numbers from the previous month. However, the funding being spent is still the challenge. The service providers still have delays in sending their invoices. I think that at the executive committee, there was a question on, well, what's our next step? So I did email out to the entire board our policy on how we handle corrective action when a service provider is underperforming, what our steps are. So I believe you all have a copy of that, so you understand what we say we do as a board. And so at this point in time, our next step is to provide training. So I did send over a quote to Maggie and Francis to go out to gather two more quotes so we can find a third party to go out and train our service providers, not just the youth, but also the non-dislocated worker service provider. As one of our methods of trying to course correct for performance. I've also been assigned to providing invoice training to our service providers. So we did a training about two years ago on invoices and what to expect and what to send in. So I will be doing another one at the beginning of March with all the service providers, all on Zoom or face-to-face, however they decide to do it, so that we're all on the same page of what the expectation is, and also offer technical assistance to them if they're having challenges of what to submit as proper documentation.
A quick question. Are you finding, or do you have any data that says the issue isn't so much the technical part of putting the invoice together, but rather not having the information or the performance or the service to support an invoice being put together?
Or is it both? That's a loaded question. So given that we had this problem last year, I don't think that's it. I think that it's not... I think that's a loaded question. I don't know that it's a staffing issue as much as this process, because Bal Harbour is a city, and so they have their own process. It's getting out of their norm in order to support what we need. So I think that might be the challenge, is that the city itself has processes in place that can't seem to work around to meet our needs, right? I think that pretty much is the problem. If I had to guess. Now, I'll have another session with them. Maybe we'll go in further detail about what the challenges still are, but we've had a training session with them. I think I shared with you guys that they also met with Anaheim to find out whether or not the cost reimbursement is required. It is. And so I don't think it's whether or not what we are doing is wrong. I think it's more, can they accommodate what we're asking for at this point?
A while ago, we all did an audit where you assigned board members with staff. What is the process to confirm that they are implementing the recommendations? Is there like an annual check-in given our findings?
Yeah, so that's a different conversation. Yeah, so what you're talking about is the hallmarks of excellence. So for you new members, we are, as a workforce system, required to go out and evaluate our workforce system and kind of write corrective actions or ways to improve our system. We just, I think maybe the last quarter, just got it approved.
Okay.
So the answer is yes, we're supposed to go back out with our one-stop operator and say, okay, where are you at now, right? But given that it just was last quarter, I don't think it's been enough time to see it, but what we can do is invite them into the one-stop committee meetings and youth committees meeting and ask, okay, where are we with what you said you were going to put in place to correct some of the challenges that we saw as a workforce system.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for asking that question.
And I realize we're at the top of the hour, the end point. So maybe if we can keep the reports brief for the remaining items, one-stop oversight committee, grant matrix.
I can make it really brief. Okay. For the one-stop committee, same thing to you. There's challenges with the invoices, challenges with the service providers performing. We're trying to put in a third party, hire a third party to go out train our service providers. And like I said, I'll be offering training for them on invoicing. So hopefully this technical assistance will be a help to them. If by next quarter it's not, then we'll go to the next item in our list of how we do corrective action as a board. So that's the update for the one-stop. In terms of the grant matrix, so part of that nudging with DOL was that this grant, this board is required to not only be notified of funding that we're applying for, but it's also supposed to be oversight funding. So I am trying to work with the accounting department to put together income statements and balance sheets that you can read. So that this board actually does that, because it's not. So I think in the 4 years I've been here, you guys have never seen an income statement or balance sheet. If the accounting department cannot produce that, then we are going to try to purchase third-party software to help us be able to provide that information to you. Right now, the budget system that the county uses, if I'm being honest, it's hard for me to actually follow it. So I wouldn't want to bring that to this board. So I will be continuing to work with the accounting department to figure out if they have a solution. If not, I have to produce something, because this board is responsible for fiscal oversight.
Okay. The EDD compliance.
Oh, okay. So EDD compliance. So many of you may know, and the new members don't. We have some outstanding compliance findings that go all the way back, honestly, to 2012. But the compliance findings that are most concern to us are the ones from 16, 17, 18 that actually have possible question costs that may result in money being returned. And when money is returned, it's not returned using DOL's money. It's using the county's money. So they have to use general revenue funds to return, because you cannot return DOL money with DOL money, right? And so there is a concern about those outstanding compliance findings. Right now, all we're doing is providing you an update of where we are. Those compliance findings all the way back from 2012, 16, 17, 18, EDD has not made a determination on them yet. However, DOL may get involved, because they're so significant. They're in several million dollars worth. And so as a workforce board, it's important that you're aware that these compliance findings exist, that you're aware as a workforce board what we need to do to prevent them in the future, which I will say that all of our auditing from 2019 on, we haven't had any compliance findings with any question costs. So I think that as a workforce board, we've got policies and procedures in place to clean things up. But there are some concerns, and that's why it's important for this board to have training on what is the role of this board, and then that MOU agreement, so that we're all clear about what should we expect moving forward as a workforce system, and then how do we prevent some of these challenges from happening in the future.
All right. Any questions at this point?
I remember the first meeting that I ever attended. You actually went through those challenges,
yeah.
And we were, the information that was missing or why we got there. I think it'll be good perhaps to have a summary again, so that we are reminded. I know, it's additional work, but now that we have new members, I think it would be very helpful for them to know where we stand.
My intention is through that MOU process to do that, so you understand where we are, and then how as we as a board get ahead of that happening in the future.
Thank you. All right, open discussion. Any questions, comments, thoughts you have before we adjourn? Right. So I just want to thank Karma and her team, her staff, for really supporting the work of the Orange County Workforce Development Board. But thank you all. We have a tall task in front of us, and with Karma's leadership and the support from our team, I think we can get through this. So thank you all for joining us today, and we'll keep this good work moving forward. So have a great rest of the weekend. Thank you.
Thank you.